6.5% was it? Is that what the current odds are of the Stanley Cup?
Well, and if you look at the round by round progression, the Stanley Cup favorite is the Vancouver Canucks.
Like, what a time to be alive!
Talking you through every goalie controversy, scoring slump, and draft lottery bust, this is the C4 Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com. Here they are, the best starting lineup we could afford under the salary cap. Chris, Matt, Anna, and Adam.
Welcome to another episode of the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, brought to you by the Full Press Coverage Network and CanucksHockeyBlog.com. I am Chris at Light Force, already going off the rails before I'd even hit the record button with my wonderful co-host, Anna Forsyth at E4603. Welcome, Anna.
Thanks, Chris. Yeah, we were talking about strange sport injuries. Just because I attended a netball tournament on Saturday, which is ostensibly a non-contact sport, and I've been stepped on. I have a large bruise on my arm. So, yeah, that's kind of what happens when you play mixed netball. We did lose every game, but, yeah, we had fun.
Totally sounds like a lot of fun, the way you described all the contact and the non-contact experience.
Yeah. I mean, at least I won like 3 of the 11 raffle prizes at the after party, so.
Oh, that's a score.
Yeah, and this is, you know, there's like 9 teams of like 7, 8, 9 people. So, like there's 50, 60 people at least there.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I won a lot of the prizes. I felt a bit embarrassed at one stage.
What prizes did you win?
They were mixed, very mixed. So, like, one was like hair care products, which I like gave away. But another one was a whale watching trip.
Ooh, who are you taking?
Yeah, that's yet to be decided. All my teammates were asking me.
Yeah.
But I feel like I can't show favoritism by picking.
No, exactly. So you shouldn't take any of them.
No, who should I take, Chris?
I mean, I know a guy.
You know a guy?
Mm-hmm.
Are you a fan of whales and or orcas and or?
I am. So it's funny you mentioned whale watching, because Baby Force and I, was it 2 years ago, went on a whale watching tour? Because it used to be her, when she was in summer care, they had took some like a couple weeks off in the summer. And so I always coordinated one of the weeks with vacation. Marnie did the other. And so when I had the week off, I made sure we did things. We'd, you know, go like to the airport and plane watch. And this is pre-pandemic, so actually a few years back now. And all sorts of different things like that. But we went on a whale watching tour that Marnie was able to get a significant discount on because of the tourism industry.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a wonderful trip. Baby Force really enjoyed it. We got to see humpbacks. We got to see orca. We got to see seals. And we were way out in the strait. So it took like an hour to get back. And during that time, Baby Force fell asleep. But she was asking just this week, when will we go whale watching again?
Are you trying to guilt me into giving this prize to you and your kid?
No. You can take her.
Oh, I see. Me and Ari going. I see.
Yeah. No, it's pretty cool. Hair products and a whale watching tour. What was the other one?
Grocery gift card, which is very necessary.
Very practical.
Trying times.
Yes, yes. I hear you. I would like to win a grocery gift card.
All
I wanna.
Right.
No, I'm not trying to, you should hand it over to me. I'm saying how excited I would be if I were to have been in your shoes. I won a $25 gas gift card.
So very useful.
Very. Like, I was like, wow, this is phenomenal. Thanks. You could probably sense that there isn't a whole lot of hockey stuff to talk about. In fact, when Anna and I were sort of going back and forth today as to like, what will we cover, you would put together a rundown. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I was thinking about it. Maybe we should just record an off the rails, because we used to do C4 off the rails. It was like a patron only thing. The difficulties, we were running out of things to talk about. And then the logistics of recording something and making it happen fell apart. But there was a part of me that wondered. We start off the show as we would normally do, and then we're like, screw it. Let's start it over and throw it off the rails. Do the intro.
Yeah. I mean, we are like specialists at going off the rails even when there's lots to talk about, so.
But we won't do that yet. We'll talk about some hockey stuff.
Some. And
we'll, you know, talk about other things that we can think of. So why don't we get into that hockey stuff in Rewind. Oh, Derek Clancy, how we barely got to know thee.
Yep. One and done.
It's funny because he's not been, well, I mean, I should say he's not been promoted. Who knows how the AGM structure is when you got 20 of them in your team. So maybe going off to Toronto is a promotion. But if you hadn't heard, Derek Clancy, former assistant general manager of the Vancouver Canucks, is the new assistant general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, traveling, bringing them on board. They had a relationship because Clancy had worked in the scouting department, the Flames. But then I heard that Clancy had a connection with Jim Rutherford because he's been with him since his Pittsburgh days. So I'm kind of curious as to why the Vancouver Canucks would be so apt to let a guy who's probably under more than a one-year contract go, unless that helps them save a few bucks in the front office and ownership is happy that maybe the budget's down just this niche.
I mean, yeah, possibly. I think it was rather funny how it came out, just like that the Toronto Maple Leafs, I think, announced, was it before they announced, before Canucks announced that they were also, that Derek Clancy was leaving?
I think Toronto pulled the trigger
and
first.
And it was just like, oh, well, I guess he's leaving Vancouver then.
Time zones is why Toronto, I think, executed earlier.
Oh, yeah, because they are in the future, as we know. Yeah, it's a weird one. I do think he was, like, he obviously has a lot to offer. Like, I mean, he's player personnel. That's kind of going to be his specialty at the Leafs. We do have a lot of AGMs in his wake. But you know, if a guy wants to go, like he wants to go back east, it's kind of like wants to go work with his buddy Brad. It's hard to be like, oh no, you must stay here and be miserable.
No, and I guess I should, you know, walk a little bit of my sarcasm back in suggesting that it could have been that he wanted to go and the Canucks were being the amenable employer saying no problem. And you know, the Vancouver Canucks still have a bunch of AGMs who will all be, you know, supplementing their jobs just a bit to fill in the gap that has been created in a Derek Clancy-less front office.
Do you think that Cammy Granato was, you know, she was very much revamping, right, the scouting team, and do you think that she, not that she was pushing him out, but maybe it's just a case of too many cooks that Cammy is taking ownership of that part of the Canucks.
I mean, without knowing anything, it seems like a very reasonable hypothesis. You know, you have too many cooks in the kitchen. Occasionally, some cooks have different opinions on what the main course should be and apt to choose to work in a different kitchen at the end of the day. So I'm just trying to take your analogy and run with it.
Uh-huh. It's good. I like it. But yeah, I mean, good old Brad in Toronto. He does seem to have a taste for Canucks players and stuff. So what's your backs?
Yeah. You know, speaking of Toronto, I was looking at Cap Friendly, and I didn't realize right now. So Toronto currently has themselves $12.3 million in the hole when it comes to projected cap space. Okay. Which again is okay at this time of season to a certain degree. Where it becomes fuzzy for me, and I'll admit I sometimes don't fully comprehend what Cap Friendly's throwing down. But when you look at the column of LTR candidate cap space, which is the little help says the estimated cap space that the club is likely using for internal decisions, assuming that long-term injured reserve candidates are placed on LTR when the season begins, zero, and has a further negative $6,756,450. So this has me wondering, are the Leafs 12.3 in the hole with no ability to put anyone on the LTIR, which means they've got problems, and how much of a cap wizard is Clancy? Or two, is that zero indicative of them actually being in a good space as opposed to the projection. Like, it's weird because the other teams who have cap space have a actually solid number. So maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's the reduction of 12 down to 6.
Yeah. I'm honestly not too sure because you just said a bunch of numbers and that makes my brain go fuzzy.
Yeah, no, but like Vancouver, for instance, they're 4.2 in the hole. But actually, this is what actually makes sense. That reduction brings the Canucks into a position of having 1.48 in space at the start of the season if they use the LTIR. Whereas the Leafs, currently, if they use what they project to be an LTIR, they're still 6.75 in the hole, which is bad. No bueno. Can't do that.
No. You must go above the line. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because, you've got to think that Mikheyev, the plan is for him to come off IR pretty soon. Whether that's start of the season or not, yet to be seen. But, yeah, I don't know. We talked about this before. We think Olvin's probably talking out his butt when he was talking about how ready everyone is for the start of the season, including Tanner Pearson.
Everyone's ready. They're all going to be. We're going to be in cap trouble because everyone's so healthy and ready to go. Speaking of ready to go, Hoglander has apparently caught the eye of the head coach in an okay light, which one can't necessarily say was the case last season. He seemed to be somewhat in purgatory.
Yeah. I mean, we got to give Tocchet the time. Like, he joined at a point in the season where Canucks were completely behind the eight ball. So, yeah, I didn't expect him to be, like, completely up to speed with Hoglander's movements and everything in the AHL. But I think, by all accounts, they like what they saw from Hoglander last season, and that was reflected in his contract renewal. But I do think that I'm not comparing, they're not the same player, but like, you know, when we saw Brandon Sutter re-sign for a much more palatable number, and it was like, he's not a foundational player, and everyone liked him a lot better. And I think that's the case with Hoglander too, that he's not this, you know, the second coming anymore. He's like, he's a depth player, but he has a lot to offer. Yeah.
And I think to make it clear, he's re-signed for 2 years, 1.1 each.
Yes,
this is something that happened since we last
recorded.
Did we talk about it?
I want to say it happened before. Last time.
I don't remember.
But that anyway, was so like 2 weeks just ago. A refresher, 1.1. Who is? But yeah, and I do think Podcoles in has a lot more to offer in that area too. Like, if you want to read the piece, Canucks Army have it.
Friend of the show, David Quadrelli.
Yeah, and Tocchet has, you know, he's a love of a hockey cliche. He loves throwing those around, but I do
Podsy's
think
just got to let it hang. He's got to play almost a little reckless.
He gotta does sound a little bit like the coach in Slapshot.
Oh, there was a coach in Slapshot? I mean, there was the player coach.
Am I thinking of the right person? Or someone in Slapshot? Maybe it was the captain, yeah. Like the guy that looked way too old to be playing hockey.
Yeah, Newman.
Yeah, that's it. Just like the most.
He was a player coach.
Where you don't really say anything. You talk, but you don't really say anything. But yeah, I think what's important is that, like, that he's noticed Hoglander and what kind of player he can be, but also it's not an unrealistic expectation that I think Hoglander has had in the past.
Is it because I'm muted? There we go.
I was just like, oh, that's 100% me. It's usually me when something goes wrong with the recording.
No, it was all me. And for those listeners who are curious why I just came right back, is it because I'm muted? I was talking. Anna was making facial expressions and she was making sounds that I could hear, but I could not elicit words, which, why would she respond to me not saying anything?
I was just like, I can't hear Chris, but this is probably something I have done. What setting have I pressed?
Mm-hmm. No,
I've done that in the past. Okay. Anyway, we're back.
Professionals. We're back. This is a high class. This is the reason why we're number one in Angola, let me tell you.
They love Ain't no stuff one
better
like
than
this.
Us in Angola.
Love all our technical foibles. I'm sure you said something super insightful about
Talklender. I just said that he does have to clear waivers. So I can't imagine the Vancouver Canucks would want to risk throwing him on it for fear that someone looks at that price and says, those are some tires that are worth kicking.
Yeah. Sorry. Now I'm picturing Hoglander as a tire.
As a tire?
You know, like there's that French...
Don't kick Hoglander.
No, I wouldn't. He's adorable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anywho, you know what's adorable? It's when we take a break. You're listening to the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, brought to you by the Full Press Coverage Network and CanucksHockeyBlog.com.
Take hitting out of the game. You can't hit anymore, so don't do it.
The unsportsmanlike conduct, I want to get an explanation on that.
No kidding.
Because how do you get suspended for unsportsmanlike conduct?
Plus interference. There's no interference there. He had the puck.
Now, Madison never ever did that before. Now, why did he do it? That because he was mad.
Well, your early favorite for the Calder Trophy, that's for sure. Elias Pettersson, you might even say your early favorite for the Hart Trophy.
Just to get back to your question, Elias is going to play plenty. He's going to play. He's going to get a lot of power play time. And, yeah, I'm concerned about our offense. We lost 200-point players, and we've got to find a way to score.
So in the rundown, I had meant to ask, hockey and social media, wins and how far they have got to go. Canucks schedule announcement, gritty and other sports. Now, I did see the Canucks schedule announcement, which was a sort of group chat message, FaceTime thing. I saw that and I like the effort, but it comes across as forced. In fairness, the player aren't actors.
Yes.
Not all of them carry the chops to pull something like that off.
Yeah. So I just wanted to use that as a starting point, kind of talk about, hockey as a whole in terms of social media and marketing and where they're going. So I would say, like, for me, I 100% know what you mean. Like, it was kind of cringe. But at the same time, I think it was such a big step forward from the Canucks in terms of being inventive. They've had some interesting stuff in the past, but, like, I think it was Kathy, I forget her last name, but Kathy, they had as a, like, social media reporter in arena sort of host in the pre-Hanna days, and she made some really good content for a while. But I don't think it would, like, fit with the more modern landscape. So I thought what the Canucks did, even though it was a bit forced and cringe and like Petey, you know, doing his little bit where he's like, I'm back in town, where he's clearly very much still in Sweden.
Yes.
And yeah, that awful actors, especially Quinn, we knew this was going to happen, but I thought it was just, I thought it was well done. And even though it was a bit cringe, I thought, oh, that's funny. And like, they're trying to be funny and they're not taking themselves too seriously. Yeah. Which hockey is just so common. Like,
I agree. That's the thing is, I want to just recognize, I applaud the effort. I think there's some room to improve.
Yeah.
But it's difficult when I draw a comparison to, let's say, the NFL. And I don't know if you happen to see the Tennessee Titans schedule announcement. Now, a couple differences. So the NFL plays a handful of games. The NHL has 82. So you can't really go through the, you know, Canucks schedule very well. But if you haven't seen it, the Tennessee Titans shared on Twitter a video of them announcing their schedule. And what they did is each week they show a logo and they ask random people on the street, who is this football team? And some of the responses that, you know, random people who don't know NFL, don't know football, don't know teams beyond maybe the one they support, were very interesting. In fact, like a couple of the teams, having seen the responses of these people with the Tennessee Titans, also started to get in, and the Atlanta Falcons decided that they are now known as the Red Stallions because a person on the street suggested that that's who the Tennessee Titans were going to play. See, that type of stuff, because like it's genuine.
Yeah.
Because you're, it's just random people. But it just, we like that stuff. We eat that up.
Yeah, honestly, obviously that was like the pinnacle, and I was thinking about that content as a comparison. I think obviously it's hard, and like they did such a good job because like football's, I mean, I'm making massive generalization, but it's pretty popular in the South. Like you would think if, but I guess Nashville's also a massive tourist town, so I guess they managed to find a willing population. I wonder if you could do something like that in Vancouver. I would guess probably not. I feel like too many people tuned in, but you would have to find another angle.
Yeah, and like, because I mean, let's look at what's his name, the Chicago Blackhawks GM did just before the draft, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
from Chicago.
Yeah, right. Like, I think there is a possibility to execute something like that, and it becomes more engaging. Now, not every team can possibly do it. And in the past, the Vancouver Canucks would have been near the top. If someone else were to try something, they weren't scared to try it themselves with their own sort of Vancouver way. They've become far more reserved and conservative in their social media experience in more recent years.
Yeah.
Reasons.
Yeah, exactly. But there's like fun you can have with it, and it's never going to be universally popular, but yeah, I don't know, like, there was always that thing on Jimmy Kimmel was like, is it like a meth addict or a hockey player? Obviously they're not going to do that, but like something like that, just like hockey cliches or something you can do with that. And I do think like Canucks social media, friend of the show Clarissa does the social media for the Vancouver Warriors and also just Rogers Arena, but she has done some great stuff over the last couple of years. I'd really encourage you to check it out, and it seems like they're going that way with the Canucks as well, the new social media reporter Kate Pedersen.
They seem to like the Warriors seem to be the more avant-garde.
Right. Can be, right? Like, they're kind of like, what do they have to lose? They're way less popular, and they have no, like, it's not a huge sport, and they don't have the, I don't think there's going to be that many angry lacrosse men coming after them.
Oh, I'm certain there are.
There'll be some.
Maybe not to the extent of hockey, right, but.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think hockey is at its best when it recognizes how stupid it is, how silly it is. Like, do you remember the hot dog Horvat thing that they had where the kid was like, what was he doing? Trading? He had a sign about turning a hot dog for a puck, or my dad will buy me a hot dog if you score. And so they were selling like hot dog Horvat t-shirts and like giving the money to an animal shelter, something like that. Like,
well, so this is where like the Canucks as an organization every so often will have these glimpses, like team like that, you know.
That was great.
They cashed in on that almost immediately. There was merch that was a hashtag they branded. We're the team like that, right? Like, there's a bit of the organization that embraces. There's a lot of the organization that's just like, oh, let's just play it safe. And I would prefer to see more of the embraces and lives a little like, you know, a little more on the edge.
Yeah, I think if they just had a unified strategy and let social media just like that team have freedom to sort of do what they want. I mean, yeah, as I mentioned, Kate Pedersen, the new ringside reporter, she's been doing some fun stuff already. Hopefully that continues. Because you do have to, like, hockey players are boring. Like, they just are. They've been trained to be that way their whole life. Like, from that sort of team first mentality to the media training, like,
well,
they speak in cliches most of the time.
True, but you do get the occasional, you know, diamond or like Bieksa, the moment he became a veteran on the team, he opened up, right? I think there is this sort of role that players need to play. I get that dynamic. But you're right. Teams don't like that.
Yeah. And there's lots of old hockey men that don't like it either. Like, lots of fans who just think, you know, it's like you have to be consistently brilliant in order to have a personality, you know, like otherwise, you know, with the stupid stuff with Canucks, with Pedersen's social media, you know,
he's focusing too much
on his Instagram.
And yes, that's what he's doing. He's skating around the ice. He's thinking about his, you know, next story and how he's going to go and do some golf trick shots instead of actually playing the game. Yes, that's the problem. Those golf trick shots were top level,
I think,
during the pandemic.
The NHL as a whole, but like Canucks in particular, need to recognize that they're like, hockey's not the most popular sport. Like, it is far behind popular NFL and MLB and NBA in popularity.
And now look at Major League Soccer. I mean, did you hear that Lionel Messi played his first match? I don't know. Did you hear this, Anna?
I think I heard that Messi was in the MLS somewhere.
Yeah, and did you hear that he scored a goal in his first MLS match? I don't know if you heard that. I mean, I don't think it made news.
But yeah, that's the thing. Like, you've got to capitalize on every sort of interesting moment. And I think too long hockey's kind of thought, let's capitalize on the fights or the big hits when they come around because people will talk about it. That's not like what actually engages fans, I don't think, or makes.
Well, I'd qualify that. I think that engages the old school fan.
Yeah, for sure. I just mean it's the new audience.
That doesn't
bring in a new audience.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I just wanted to
clicks.
You know, it still works. It's just year over year over year, it's working less and less and less.
Yeah. For sure.
Give me more excitement. Give me more personality. Give me games where teams have a heck of a good time, provide a heck of an exciting product, and don't do stupid stuff on the regular, and I'd be a happy hockey fan.
Yeah. And honestly, like,
Give me more gritty.
Like, that's such fun, and he's like a force for chaos, and I like the fact that he doesn't really have rules, and there's not like a limit of taste. I think that's just one thing that a hockey team has got completely right. So
the number of people though that look at gritty and they're like, that's what's wrong with this sport, still scares me.
Well, they'll die out soon, so.
Yeah. Speaking of things that are wrong in this world, taking us completely off the rails.
Sure.
You gonna go see the Barbie movie?
I was meant to actually. I was meant to go on Thursday. I had tickets I had to give away because I had to go play netball.
And I just want to make sure. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the Barbie movie. It's just how there is this, like, I can't believe a movie like this is ruining our world as we know it. It's like
there's a fun tweet going around of someone who's made like Barbie posters of the 1-star reviews written by men on I guess
that's top level.
Yeah. It was,
I'd be more concerned if Barbie was like a serious, like, well, I mean, I'm not trying, let me rephrase this. I've not seen it. Maybe there is a serious tone or message being conveyed. I don't know. But like, what I'm trying to say is like, if it came across as something that should fit within like the drama thriller.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely category. Not. But yeah, I want to see Barbie. Apparently it's really fun. And looks like they had fun making it. There's some good old Canadian
Ryan Gosling, boys, Simu Liu.
Who is like an absolute dreamboat and I'm obsessed with. I love him.
Simu?
Ryan
or just Simu?
Just Simu. I mean, Ryan's good, but like,
Gosling's going to cry himself to sleep, I'm sure, having heard you say that. You know he listens. All Canadians do.
I did see Simu speak once at UBC, at the UBC Asian Culture Center, something like that, about Asian representation in the media. It was very interesting. But yeah, I don't know if I want to see Oppenheimer. Are you going to see?
I'll wait until it comes out. Like, I'm somewhat conflicted in that it's a historical. I mean, I'm not trying to draw parallels here, but I'll use a movie like Schindler's List. I saw Schindler's List in theaters, and it was difficult for all the right reasons, which, you know, is mm-hmm. that it really was eye-opening. But now as I've gotten older and the greater implication as to what, you know, the Manhattan Project has now brought us towards, mm-hmm. you know, that's part of me there struggles with that. Like, how do I, you know, how do I overcome that issue? But I when it comes out, if it's on, you know, a streaming service I subscribe to or a movie channel I subscribe to, I'll watch it. It's not something I'm going to go to the theater to watch. The number of people though that are upset as to, oh my goodness, I can't believe they didn't have diversity back in the 40s. No, I too agree. This was a problem.
Yeah. I don't know if I need to see another movie about, like, some tortured man being like, what have I done?
I am the destroyer of worlds. Mm-hmm. Or I am become the destroyer of worlds. Like, it's the grammar isn't there, if I recall, the way the structure of the sentence was. But
yeah, I mean, Killian Murphy's a great actor, but...
Again, we're off the rails, but let's take that further off the rails. I did a science project in grade 9, and we were learning about the Manhattan Project in science because of the application of physics and that. And I noticed that there was a female scientist, Maria Gephardt Meyer, and I could be mispronouncing the Gephardt part. It was Gephert. But that struck me because, well, wait a minute. I have maternal relatives with Gephardt, Gephert, in their surname. So I'm like, that's very similar. And so I did some digging, and it's quite possible that I am descendant from one of the physicists that worked on the Manhattan Project.
Interesting.
And I mean, not directly. It would be well back in the path here, but
people change their.
Well, names. And it's, and you think about it, like the anglicized pronunciation, if you hear the word Gephardt, like how will you spell that? And then there are a variety of pronunciations and spelling differences. Like there's Gephardt I've seen where it's Gephardt. But again, us Anglo-Saxons heard something and presumed how we hear it is how it should be spelled.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore we are always right. Queen and country. Well, actually it's king and country now. Got that wrong.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So it's weird, but I don't know if there's anything else really in the movie theaters that...
Well, I mean...
I want to see.
There won't be a whole lot coming out and being made. I mean, with both the writers and actors strike.
Yeah.
Which, good on them.
We are pro union podcast.
Yeah, if that, you know, I'd be curious if there's anyone out there just suddenly was like, what?
Yeah, it's interesting. My day job is in entertainment, so monitoring it closely should be interesting to see what happens. But I think my money's on the rich. Fat cats on, unfortunately.
Well, you know, the story came out as to whether there's truth or not or veracity to the story, who knows, but a senior executive or board member said we can outlast them because wait until it hurts them in the house and on the dinner table. But that the thing that it, you know, the fact remains, you hear that and you could see that as being believable.
Yeah, like, even if it wasn't true, you'd be like, well, yeah, the fact that they could easily be. I mean, was it Universal? They trimmed all their trees in the middle of the summer, which is, unheard of.
Without a permit, and they weren't, wasn't their trees to trim.
Yeah, just to
But no, that was, it was scheduled. Come on, Anna. Don't be silly. It wasn't
even though every tree expert says, like, that's insane. Like, why would you do that to your tree in the summer?
No, why would you do that to your neighbor's tree?
Well, Yeah.
Like, well, this is the thing, is that it was a city tree, mm-hmm. a series of trees, with no permit, what have you. But like, if you were to have done that to your neighbor would sue you. Mm-hmm. Because you trim their trees. Well, that's ultimately what the Universal Studios did. But it's just...
It's crazy. I mean, like...
The fact that someone had that bright idea, that person is an idiot.
Yeah.
Actually, and that's the nicest version of that.
Like, it's unfortunately the industry I want to be working in for a while. And as a writer, it does terrify me. But, yeah.
Get those, you know, residuals that, you know, clock in at like 20 cents.
Yeah.
And you're well paid as a result.
Also, I'm sure everyone saw in their inboxes this morning, but Spotify is going up by $1 a month. So they can use all that money to not pay their artists. Cool.
Yeah. I canceled Netflix months ago simply because the values to which I felt I was receiving, this is pre-strike. It was like, mm-hmm. it's not there. Like, they increased the cost. And I'm like, nah, it's not for me. And I'm finding more and more that, you know, I'm less interested in paying for substandard, but now that I'm hearing more of how much they pay as a result, I'm sorry. You're making how much money? Oh, you're reporting a loss. That's because, yeah, exactly. You can manage your books in such a way that this costs you so much money, even though you're making a metric ton.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, and we're right back to the cost of living crisis. It's only us that's suffering from it. It's not the guys at the top. This is so off the rails. I kind of love it, though. We're just having a little rant about rich people.
Yeah. Well, and I saw someone try to actually, to bring it back to Hawkeye, I saw someone try to draw a correlation to, you know, like supply and demand and, you know, to use in a hockey parlance, like if a hockey player wasn't worth millions, then why do we pay to go and watch hockey? And I think, okay, that's a fair point. But then a hockey player should be getting a significant portion of ultimately what we're paying to see. I'm not paying to see an executive sit in a box, right? Now, I don't know if I'm one to answer it, but I have absolutely no problem if the athlete is the one who ultimately gets paid from the money that I provide and the people that provide the support get paid well by the money I provide. I'm much less interested to add a few bucks to that owner's wallet.
Yeah, I mean, for me, there's a lot of sports where I do, the players have a lot of power, and they are, not that they're, like, receiving a bulk of the money, it's still the owners that are profiting, but I worry about where, like, how players are guided, and I'm kind of talking about football here with some players going to the Saudi leagues, and that's happening in golf.
Well, I saw Mbappe was... provided offer to go to the Saudi League.
Yeah. Which is just like, I think it's kind of like MLS won't be a massive league until a player goes there in their prime. And like, Messi is still extraordinarily talented.
Well, no, and I don't think Major League Soccer looks at itself as we're going to go and attract a player in their prime. But then when in the current state of sports, they can't compete anymore, especially when you have other leagues that just have insane amount of money to sports wash it with.
Yeah. But then if a player, goes to the Saudi League and it's a decent player that's still in the prime of their career, that's when we really need to worry. So, but I do think hockey, anyway, the players have the least power, the least money. Not totally, but like, you know, the share of the revenue. It's a pretty poor deal in general.
You know, I'm sure someone out there they should be the ones taking the risk. Do they not take the risk? Like, they live with life-altering injuries. I mean, C4 Book Club that we're going to talk about in a moment hits that nail on the head. And that's that's talking about a player who didn't make the money that players today make. It really comes down to, you know, how we look at something. So again, we're a very pro sort of, you know, labor podcast, but one of the creators that I sort of see occasionally come through TikTok had talked about how private enterprise often looks to socialize losses. Hey, government, I need a bailout. Here's how much I contribute. We see this in sports. Hey, build me a rink, provide me subsidies, give me this, give me that, and I'll in turn put a team here. But then when it comes to profits, well, we don't share because socialism is bad. So you socialize your losses, but then you capitalize on profits, and that's free market. But you take it a step further.
Yeah.
And, you know, someone had made a comment on it. He's like, well, then if the workers want to do this, they should go in together and see how it is. And he's like, that's called a cooperative. That's actually a form of socialism at play. But could you imagine if the players is a cooperative? Mm-hmm. We're ultimately great. We have shares to the such and such team.
Well,
we're going to pay ourselves accordingly.
Yeah. I mean, they have a players union, and I have more hopes in the players union today than I did last year, for example, but it's not historically got a good record of standing up.
Speaking of books, though, C4 Book Club.
Yeah. I was applauding that segue you made back onto the rails. I think it's, we've been having some really interesting conversations about our latest book. If you don't know it, it's Boy on Ice by John Branch. And yeah, I think it's, we've been talking a lot about fighting in hockey and the role of fighting, whether it still has a place. And also kind of like a duty of care a bit.
Here, take these. As to
players.
Get out on the ice.
What duty of care do the trainers have? And yeah. Because, you know, Derek Bogard, who's the subject of this book, his job was, he was a fighter. And, like, if he wasn't a, you know, like, huge goal scorer, they're not going to wait until he's ready to be play again. They're not going to wait until he's 100%
fit. Yeah, we'll go get another fighter.
If he's not fighting, he's no use. So, yeah. And that's kind of goes back to the disposable nature of like athletes' bodies, and it's kind of horrific to read about. There was some good conversation on Friends of the Show, Canucks Conversation last week on fighting and hockey. Not sure what
it's probably C4 Dan to bring it up,
but I do think it's interesting. Like, I know that people, you know, they were talking about who polices the game if fighters don't, and I think Quad said that, like, it should be the job of the officials, but, you know, we all know that they're not doing a good enough job.
I mean,
in the regular season, and especially not
getting off the rails again, though. I mean, you look at across professional sports, and it's very interesting to see how people view officials. Like, I'll use soccer. I mean, I think it's very clear that people look at soccer and are like, oh, that player goes down so easy. They're faking it. And I agree. You know what? The laws of the game are actually very clear on what type of punishment could be applied for simulation. Or even if you were to go down and be fouled, if you were to make a meal out of it, you can be punished. The problem is the officials don't punish that behavior, and you get that reputation. But if there is generally one thing you see in soccer is the err on the side of the player, their safety, if an official makes a meal of a call, it's usually in favor of calling it. And now with VAR, it's this, you know, the minute stuff that the, you know, in the blink of an eye can be missed. Look at hockey, complete contrast. That referee takes in a variety of factors as to whether or not I'm going to make that call under the guise of game management.
Mm-hmm. And, to me, I just think And, like, let's talk about it. Like, in terms of players' relationship to the officials, you would say that it's usually better in hockey than it is in football.
In hockey, like, you and the referee can have a good old conversation. And I use that loosely. But, Don't do that in soccer.
And I... yeah. And players are pretty disrespectful towards... football referees, but and this is something we've talked about a little bit in the past, and maybe something we want to talk about in the future as well. There's this just like terrifying statistic about the amount of hockey refs in lower levels of the games that have been physically assaulted. It's the highest.
But
in
Anna,
all sports.
Those kids are paid to take it.
Highest. Yeah, it's terrifying, but I had this on a discussion about Gaelic games referees, so hurling and Gaelic football, because that's an amateur sport. So all levels of the game are amateur. But yeah, they have the second most physical assaults of officiating. But hockey's the highest. Like, I just think... we're not giving them enough power, because if you see at the NHL level that like players have the power and officials are not controlling the game, then why would you trust an amateur ref to, or a ref at a junior level?
It's definitely worth a conversation with another show. But like, you know, when I grew up playing refereeing soccer, I got paid less than minimum wage to take all sorts of abuse. And the defense that people would use is that I'm paid to take it. I'm not even paid legally. Like, if this was an hourly job, I'm paid less than a minimum wage. Ain't no way minimum wage gets to put up with idiots like that. Nor should they. In any job. But, I mean, that doesn't... And it's not a wage thing.
In any job.
It's not a wage thing.
Pro-labor podcast.
It's, like, just...
Yeah, no, I got yelled at the weekend at netball umpiring, and I was just like, dude, this is a social tournament. This is the first, like, I think this was the second or third game of the day, and people are yelling at me, and it's just like, I'm getting paid
nothing
to do this.
Sucks to be you. You're doing this and taking it for free.
Mm-hmm. Technically, I could have gotten a free lunch, but I didn't find out until afterwards, and I don't
think
that good. So,
yeah, I mean, I have on occasion found myself in conversing with people, raising my voice, and the moment that I become aware of it, I stop, I pause, I apologize, I explain why this might be happening. It's emotions getting the better of me. And I try to bring myself, it is a me thing. It's not a you thing. I've never, you know, I've always done it that way, even before I got into that end of the business. But I get it. It's an emotional place. But yeah, these kids, these amateur officials, hockey players, none of them deserve it. Anyhow.
No. But yeah, I think the message here is that, like, yeah. We're a pro-labor podcast, and even if you're looking at from a purely business point of view, protect your assets. Like, this isn't the way to do it, and yeah, we've got to stop treating hockey players at all level as any kind of disposable.
Hear, hear, Anna. Hear, hear. Speaking of here, you can continue to listen to our podcast next week. No, 2 weeks. So we're on the every, you know, odd week schedule now. You can also check out our broken website at c4podcast.com. It's a website that got broken because I don't know how to do things correctly. And by the time I realized what I had done wrong, it was too late to fix. So yeah, there's that. But the little widget that our episodes are in, that still works. That works real well. All of the ads you get to hear on this show, not us. We get zero from it. In fact, if you skip over the ads, your little podcast app, there's like a forward 30 or a forward 60. Hear an ad, you hit that button a couple times.
Yeah.
I don't care. And I encourage you to do it.
Yeah,
but if you're like, well, wait, if you don't get any money for these ads, how do you support the show? Ah, well, you just go to support.c4.com or c4podcast.com, and that will take you to Buy Me a Coffee, or as Anna and I call it. And you can contribute on a one-off, monthly, or yearly basis. Every dollar you invest there goes back into the show. And if I can figure out where the heck the stickers are, there is a way to get a C4 sticker. Rich, your sticker will be on its way when I can dig them out. Same with you, Neil, and Anna's mom. Hi, Anna's mom! But Anna, any final words of wisdom?
Hi, Mom. Yeah, just strike on.
Strike on. Well, I'm to me, it's solidarity.
Yeah. Solidarity. Yeah, we're like giving a little solidarity fist.
But on behalf of Anna, A4SA03, myself, Chris at Lightforce, signing off at the C4 Podcast with We Out.